and feel the emotion rising within them as they gaze upon the steps of the edifice that my mother built in my honor and view its dedication plaque inside. Harry Elkins Widener, a graduate of this university, born January 3, 1885, died at sea April 15, 1912, upon the foundering of the steamship Titanic. The mothers in the crowd will look at this impressive structure, with its Corinthian pillars and marble halls, and their hearts will flicker with pain as they imagine the impossible loss of a child, and the magnitude of grief that motivated a woman to build such a vast memorial to her fallen son. They will understand that for my mother, each individual brick laid represented a single word in her elegy to me. A eulogy written not in ink and paper, but in mortar and stone. The love my mother felt for me will ripple through the crowd, regardless of age, when the tour guide tells an indisputable truth. At the center of the library, above the vast labyrinth of stacks where students have pulled countless texts from over the years, there is a special room created solely for me. Step inside it, and you will see my beloved home study recreated. Each oak panel imported from England, every carved bookshelf, every leather spine placed with care. This is my mother's strength and sorrow, entwined yet again. She stood inside this room, weeks before the library's unveiling, instructing the men exactly where to place my desk and how many inches across from it to put my chair. She raised her elegant finger pointing to the wall above the carved mantel and told them it was there they should hang my portrait. This is the heart of the building. The heart of this story, where love emerges out of grief. The tour guides will mention this room with reverence. And all of these details, unlike the other legends that they say to the crowds, will be true. At my mother's request, fresh flowers are put on my desk each week to conjure the sensation that I am just about to walk in, sit down, and begin to read. This is where my ghost now lives. This is where I wait for her.
Chapter 1. Harvard College, 1992. It had taken nearly all of Violet's strength to get herself out of bed that morning, but she'd managed to pull on her jeans, slip on a sweatshirt, and tie back her mane of red hair. Exiting her dorm, the world bristled against her and the sting of the crisp air awakened her senses. Violet had barely looked up from the ground as she walked the narrow path behind Dexter Gate toward Widener Library. As she entered the yard, the still of morning had vanished and Harvard buzzed with life. Beneath the canopy of autumn foliage and against the stretch of carefully manicured green lawn, students congregated in groups, their heads tilted back in laughter. Athletes rode by on bicycles, and a lone couple kissed before parting for class. She adjusted the straps of her backpack and treaded up the building's stone steps. Everything felt so heavy it hurt. But as she entered the marble lobby, Violet's mood shifted. The frenetic world of campus life slipped away, and the quiet fell around her like snow. She closed her eyes and inhaled the smell she'd loved since she was a child, as if she were arriving now into a world of familiar friends, the fragrance of paper, glue, and leather, the scent of books. Her job as a library page for Harvard's rare book and manuscript collection was the only thing that had kept Violet grounded since the accident. When she applied for part-time work through the Student Employment Office, she had no way of knowing that the position she'd receive would provide more than the extra money she needed, but also a refuge. Upon learning about the job, Violet had assumed it would be mostly running rare books that were requested by students or scholars, shepherding them from the stacks to the peaceful sanctuary of the Houghton Reading Room. Only later would she realize it was so much more. Madeline Singer, the head of special programs and the librarian curator for the Harry Elkins Widener collection,